This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
When a person moves into a new cultural setting, initially, there's a honeymoon stage, lasts about 24 hours at the outside. That's the fun stage. That's where you look for all the things that are similar. And so you arrive at the airport and you look around and you say, oh, it's not so different here. They have runways at their airport. They have airplanes. The airplanes have wings. There are pilots in their planes, just like home. And you look around and you find all the things that are similar. But as the first few hours slip by, you begin to see more of the things that are different than the things that are alike. And at that point, as that sense of difference begins to develop, what we call culture shock takes over. And culture shock is really a poor term. Culture stress is probably a better term, because shock suggests some jolt. But what really happens is that there's a creeping anxiety that somehow the messages that I'm getting and the signals that I'm getting are being, I'm misinterpreting them, and they are unfamiliar. A simple thing, you land in Japan and you pick up the telephone, and as soon as you pick it up, you get a busy signal. The thing goes beep, 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 beep. You say, that's a busy signal. No, it's not. That's the dial tone. But you see, it's in a different culture, and so even sounds on a telephone may be different. And you realize I'm getting different signals. My mind tells me that's a busy signal, but I have to struggle and say, no, that's a dial tone. Go ahead and dial. So I can force myself to dial, but all the time I'm doing it, I'm saying, now that's dumb because it's already saying it's busy. But you get a lot of those signals from as you move into another cultural situation. The initial response to that is avoidance, withdrawal, protect yourself. It's the flight stage. Then the next stage, after you realize that you can't avoid it forever, at least most of the time you can't, you begin to move into the anger stage or the fight stage, which is identified by anger. Boy, these stupid people, why don't they do things right? Boy, back home, you wouldn't have to stand in line in the bank this long because people just know how to do it, and they don't run around. They don't have to get everything signed, stamped, and 12 different receipts. They just do it, and they just get it done with. If they only knew how to do it right. And so you go through the anger stage. Now, that anger stage may express itself in various degrees of intensity. But after a while, you begin to modify the anger stage, and you find an acceptable way to be angry, or to demonstrate your anger. You mock the other people. Now, this is not necessarily the same as humor, but sometimes you can't really tell the difference between the two. There's an important aspect of adjustment where humor is important, where you laugh at yourself and you laugh at circumstances. But mockery is when you laugh at another person and there is a derision built into that. There are people who spend all of their lives in another culture and get stuck in mockery. There are some people who pass that on to their children. There are some missionaries that get stuck in mockery. There are diplomatic corps people that get stuck in mockery. Some get stuck in avoidance. And that takes on some acceptable forms too, but that we won't go into that. But I heard of one avoidance situation where a diplomat had been a bachelor for a number of years, came back to the States, met a gal, married her, took her back overseas with him, and they arrived in a West African country, and it was one of the countries where you are bombarded from the time you step out of the doorway of the plane, and people are taking your suitcase and taking your tickets out of your pocket and saying they'd like to help you, and they carry your suitcase for 3 feet, and they want the money, and they were going, and she was just overwhelmed with this mass of humanity that converged on them. By the time they got to the car that was waiting for them, she put her head down and would not look out the window of the car. They arrived at the place where they were going to live. She ran into the house, found out which room was their bedroom, went in and closed and locked the door, and stayed in that room with the blinds drawn for a week. I don't know if they fed her with chapatis under the door or what they did. But the fact was that at the end of the week, he packed up and brought her back to the States and resigned from the diplomatic corps because she had gone to the ultimate of avoidance. And not everybody avoids to that degree. But then after the mockery, you begin to fit, and that's the acceptance stage where you say, you know, I don't like it, I don't understand it, but I can live with it. If it works for them, okay. Now that's moved away from the mockery stage to a level of acceptance and tolerance. But the final stage is the appreciation stage, where you say, ah, that's why they do it that way. Now that doesn't mean that you're always ready to say, okay. You still may disagree with what's done. You still may not think it's a great idea for a man to walk 7 steps ahead of his wife while she carries 3.5 ton of gear on her head, and he has nothing that he's carrying. You still may say, you know, that doesn't seem like a good idea. You may not agree with that. You may not choose to do the same thing, or you may choose to do the same thing, depending on how strong your wife is. But you reach a level of understanding and a level of acceptance. Now, the reason I talk about the issue of culture shock is that people experience this not just when they go to a new culture, when they move from their home culture to a host culture, but there's the experience of reverse culture shock when you come back into your own culture from being in a host cultural situation. And missionary kids go through this very thing. You know what I mentioned before in the profile that third culture kids have cross-cultural skills? They do. You know where they don't use them? They come back in their own culture. A kid who grows up in Taiwan can go to Zaire and will use the cross-cultural skills in that setting. They return to the United States and they get stuck in the same pattern. Part of the reason, I believe, is that they have the sense that if this is my culture and these are my people, then they ought to be able to think the way I think. And they ought to respond properly. And when they do a dumb thing, I really get mad at them because it's a projection of me. And I think that's part of what's involved in the tendency to idealize one's own culture and be disappointed when people don't live up to that ideal. But we have to be aware of the fact that culture shock is something that people, that missionaries go through, reverse culture shock. The thing that makes a reverse culture shock difficult is that when you move into a new culture, you expect you're going to have to adjust. You expect you're going to have to identify the differences. And you look for them. And you're consciously thinking of how do I fit in, and how do I eat, and how do I talk, and what are the different signals that are coming, and how do I learn this? But when you move back into your own culture, it's your own culture. And you know how it works. And you know that you haven't changed. After all, you've been there with yourself through the whole experience, and you're exactly the person you were when you left 3 or 4 years before. You haven't changed. You're sure the people at home haven't changed because they've been living in suspended animation. As soon as you climbed on the plane, life stopped. Boom. And they've been there waiting for you to come back so they can get on with their lives. So they haven't changed. You haven't changed. The fact is, you have, and they don't think you should have, and you don't think you did. And you don't think they should have, and they don't think they did. And everybody's changed. And you have this strange sense that you're out of focus, but for the life of you don't know how to get back in focus. And there's this sense that you just don't quite fit anymore. This is what happens, this is part of the culture experience.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.